right, good morning, everyone. Well, I turned a big 5-3 on Friday. So it's the first time I got more birthday cards from church than I got my own family. So so thank everybody for that, for sending a birthday card, you know. So now I'm a year older. My voice is a little more haggard, so you guys got to stand up and help me fill in the gaps. So I'm standing up today. You like that excuse I gave? That's a poor excuse. Yeah, that's it.
Was born. Life begins and ends in the dust you form. Faith commanded and the mountains move. Fear is a losing ground to a hope in you. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all our chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus is overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied and the storm was gone. Yeah. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. Shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Sometimes I feel like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes I feel like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So when the walls come falling when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I've got this blessed assurance holding me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world. echo can hide the night. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us.
That exact presence that we just sang about, to be here. And as now, as we move to this point where we continue to further worship you in song and in spirit, may we also worship you by giving back to you your tithe and our offerings for the many blessings that you've given us. In Christ's name we pray.
you're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter, I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the dark.
Time our children can go ahead and head to their Sunday school shoreline and just say hello to those right around you real quick. Good morning, everyone. How are you? All right, good. Hey, good thing, if this was a boat, which next week's sermon, on the same boat, it would keep you level, this side and that side. So we're good. We're good today. So glad everybody's here today. We want to welcome everybody on Church Online. Say hello to Church Online today. All right, good. We have several things we want to get to. Number one, we just want to tell you that we're glad that you're here and you're part of our worship today, and you have a lot of announcement things in here, so let me get to those. We want you to relax and have a good time and just worship the Lord today as you will. Couple different things. Haven's Helping Hands will be doing a Thanksgiving food drive. I know that you're going to need people for cooked turkeys, right? Definitely for cooked turkeys. A couple of them, and just all kinds of other stuff. So you have an insert today. There will be a sign-up that goes around next week, and you can also connect with haven-helping-hands@havencc.org if you're online and want to go ahead and connect with that, and you also have a checklist of several things that are in here. Also, in addition, last week we shared about Operation Christmas Child and those boxes. We are putting at 300 is what we have as our goal this year, and so if you have other information about that, Liz Aspie, where's Liz? I saw her running. There she is in the back. She can help you there, but you can also contact still at Haven's Helping Hands at Haven CC to go ahead and find that information. So we want to go ahead and make sure that happens. We've seen some of the videos. It's impacted lives all over the globe, and we want to continue to go ahead and help to impact those lives. Now, if you're sitting in the back today, there is a clipboard next to you or some, and one person in a row. We decided to do the reverse today. It says our fall harvest celebration. I think some people aren't quite sure what that is. We should have probably called it our trunkless treat. Trunk and treat. A lot of people do trunk and treats, and they decorate their trunks, and then people go ahead and have candy and all that kind of stuff. Last year we did, and last several years we've done trunk or treat, but it rained last year, so we brought it inside and we decorated tables. So the sign-ups are pretty much going around, and hopefully you, if you're in the back, you'll start those around. For people who would like to decorate a table instead of your trunk, so you don't have to mess up your car, we're going to have tables set up for you. And how many of you attended that last year? Anybody in here? It was fantastic. We had a blast. We had tons of people. Tell everybody in your neighborhood. We want them all filled here. We had Barney lookalikes that were running around in here, giant blown-up dinosaurs. We had a great time. And so that's exactly what that is. And that is next Sunday from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. So make sure you bring kids in costumes, and if your adults want to be costumes, I'm told that Superman usually shows up. Enjoy games and treats, and bring a friend, 2 or 10. It's a great time, but we would love for you to go ahead and connect that. So make sure you take that insert and share with people, but also, if you're willing to decorate a table and be part of that next week, go ahead, and the clipboards that are in the back, please make sure that they get around to you today. We want to make sure they get around there. And let me see, you also have this other yellow, many of you have this in there. It is, if you know someone who needs a Thanksgiving box, go ahead and fill that card in. You can even fill it out right now. You can just drop it in the offering plate. We'll make sure it gets to the right people that we have. All right. We are in the middle of our all-in Bible study, and it's our church-wide study. What I'm preaching about is what small groups are going through. We have several small groups. I know one met this morning, but if you're interested in connecting with some of these other small groups, we would love to have you be part of that ministry. It's not too late to join. You can connect right in, but it's really good. It builds upon everything that I talk about on Sunday, and then you deal with through the week. And we have the books are, how much are the books? $8, and the study guides? $6, so it's relatively cheap. If that's a problem, please let us know as well. All right, so we want to go ahead and make sure that everybody can connect if they want. We have several different ones that are there. Youth group is meeting after church, and I think also is card ministry and several other things. All right, so and Parish Foundation is today. We good? All right, so we're good. So next month, if you want to connect for that, that'll be a great time as well. Also, Grief Share is going on Wednesday evenings. For those who have participated in that, they have really appreciated Grief Share. Grief comes in many different ways. Could be the loss of a loved one. Could be the somebody who's dealing with someone who's consistently ill. Could be a divorce. Could be lots of different things. And so Grief Share is meant to recognize that God did not intend for us to go through these things alone. Even in our own community over this last week, there were several people who were touched with death in their families and in the larger community through accidents and other kinds of things. So if you'd like to connect to that, go ahead and plug in on Wednesday evenings, and they would love to have you connect with them. All right? I'm going to move to our time of prayer concerns. Joanna, praise God, no thyroid cancer, so we're thankful for that. Also, for the Steckers, Michael Fahey had a biopsy, and it was a favorable outcome, so good news in those two. And we do want to lift up the families of Jake Sutton and Rick Gestewitz. Is that how you say it? Gestewitz. So they were in an accident this week, and both of them passed away. And so we want to go ahead and continue to lift them in your prayers. I didn't know Rick, but I knew Jake for many, many years. Went to school with his kids and everything. And so we want to pray for them and their family, extended families as well in this dark time. Okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we lift these up before you. We ask that you meet all these needs. We recognize there are so many concerns and so many issues that exist in the world. But God, we know that you are in control of everything. As we settle in today and we wait to hear your scripture and your message, God, just touch our hearts in a way that you may never have before. And bring, as that song that we sang, God, just let your presence be here. Let the atmosphere, even though things are changing in the world and that things get more difficult, God, may we go ahead and just feel the atmosphere changing because in a positive way because of the presence of the Lord. This rest of the service is devoted to you, and we give you praise and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Everybody says, amen.
Morning. Scripture this morning is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
All right, everybody good? Yep. All right, is it cold enough for you? Good, because it's going to get colder. So, all right, we're never satisfied. Wasn't it like a week and a half ago? Wasn't it 84 and 85 and hot and humid, right? Isn't that how it went? So, okay, welcome to week number two. Week number two of All In. All In is based, it's based in Scripture, but it is also focused on this book by Pastor Mark Batterson, of a church in Washington, D.C., and it's pretty easy reading. Some things that I'm going to tell you in here is probably not something that you have never heard, But the way he puts it together, I think, is very good and powerful for us. Another prayer that I want to lift up today before we get further today, if you look at your bulletin and look what we sang so far, you'll say, wait, is that the name of that song? And the answer is, for some of those, no. Michelle called today, and Roger had thrown his back out, and she had to rush him today to urgent care because he's having so many problems with his back. So pray for Michelle and Roger Kipp as they deal with those struggles, and pray for us as we just shift and keep on moving with the Lord, right? And keep on worshiping Him. Our theme verse for this All In series, and today we're going to be talking about All In the Family. And no, there will not be any Archie Bunker references, unfortunately, for those of you who are as old as I am or older. All right, so kids, if you're under the age of 40, go ahead and your parents will tell you, or somebody else will tell you who's a lot older. Okay, here we go. So here is our theme verse, and look what it says. So let's keep focused on that goal. What is that goal? That goal is going all in, being more like Christ, finding Christ on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us, how many of you want everything God has for you? How many think if God has something for you, it's probably something pretty good? Anybody? It's something pretty good. So if God has something for you, how many of you want it? If you don't raise your hand, something is wrong with you, okay? Because if I said, how many of you want a present for Christmas? You'd be like, oh, me. And so, I don't know about you, but I've gotten some real big junk at Christmas. Anybody else? And the older you get, sometimes the junkier it gets, right, men? Here we go, right, ladies? Here we go. So, here we go. But sometimes you get some really cool stuff, and my family takes care of me. That's awesome. So, here we go. If any of you have something else in mind, that's for you who didn't raise your hand. If you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. I look out. I see people with glasses. I see people who've had LASIK. I see people who may need them. God needs to clear your vision if you didn't raise your hand and say you want everything for God, and then you'll see it yet. You will see it yet. So that's my hope. My hope is that God will clear your vision. Now, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are either in school or remember school? How many of you remember that? All right. For some of you, you got to think about hitching up the dinosaur and using Slate, but that's okay. But some of you, it may just be this week. Wayne said he's 53, so I don't know if they even had school back then, right, Wayne? One room schoolhouse. How many of you like tests? Who loved school to the point where you would have to take a test? Anybody raise your hand? No one. All right. How many of you who are teachers love to give tests? Okay, there we go. That's why they're married. Okay, so there we go. All right. So not many of us really like tests in life, but we do it. We do this kind of thing. I know from teaching now that it was funny, actually, this week I had someone who was complaining that I was giving them a test in an allotted time that they had to take out of their busy schedule to get to the testing center at a certain time. And I went to class and they said, you need to change the test. And I said, I don't need to do anything. And I ended up saying, take it or not, I don't care. Right? Teachers, does that sound good? Take it or not, I don't care. Makes my grading a lot easier. Am I right? So, but none of us in here, didn't see one person say, oh, I love tests. And if there is, then something is wrong with you as well. And so one of the things is tests. How many of you have a test phobia? You started to get a little bit nervous. You started to get sweaty. You started to get like this. I remember I had this one class, statistics, and I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I remember going to that first test. I had not a clue what I was talking about, and I remember that test came, and I was nervous, and I couldn't even read the words. I was so nervous about a test. How many of you are old enough to remember this on your television? Melinda, can you show us this? It's not showing up? Sorry. I don't know why it's not showing up. How many remember this then? This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If this was an actual emergency, you would, right, remember that? And then it used to tell you, please stand by. Now, I got to tell you, when I was a little kid, and if Jill was here today, she'd tell you, I used to go up and stand by the television. I thought they wanted me to, I literally stood by the TV going, like, please stand by. And I stood there, nothing happened, so I guess I was okay. But the emergency broadcast system, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. Now, how many of us, if you went to school and you said, hey, class, this is a test of calculus. This is only a test. Only a test. If this was an actual emergency, that we'll wait till after you take the test and it'll be an actual emergency if I was taking the test, right? So
Testing. None of us like testing. None of us like that. And if you're like me, this story, this account of Abraham has always been one that has kind of messed with me a little bit. Here you have these elderly people, real elderly, 190, and 190 years old, and they were looking for a child, and all of a sudden, they were in their 70s and 80s when they got the promise they were going to be pregnant. Anybody in their 70s and 80s would like to have a child? Okay, there we go. But they had hoped for this. Anybody in your 40s or 50s? No, okay, right? So be careful, because there's a lot going on around this place. We got kids right and left, so it's awesome for those younger people, right? But one of the things is, here we are. They're older. They've been praying to God for this child. They're going to have this child. Abraham is about 100. Sarah's about 90 in here. Several years go by, and then God says this. God says to them to take your child and to go, this Isaac, and sacrifice them. It's always bothered me when I looked at this. Why would God do this? And then it bothered me until I really got a chance to unpack and look at this a lot more. I'm going to share with you something. If this is the first time you're hearing this story, that will hopefully ease your mind. God never intended for Abraham to sacrifice his son, but he did it to test him. He did it to test him. I don't think God would have allowed Abraham. Matter of fact, Abraham, as we'll see, went almost to the point. Now, in the culture of that day, those around them in pagan culture, human sacrifice was acceptable, but God never does what culture does. God just wants to see how far and how much we love him and are willing to go in. So let's look at this scripture from Genesis chapter 22. And it says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you about." Now, let's look at that concept again. Number one, we're not going to get into the whole discussion that there is this child named Ishmael. Okay, we're not going to talk about that right now. But God says, take this only son who you love, and not only sacrifice him, because in a burnt offering, you would kill the animal, and then you would burn it up completely. God is asking him, or actually not asking, he's telling him, right? Go, take your son, that one that I've promised you, that promise, that gift I have given to you, and go and sacrifice and burn him up. I find fascinating at this point, Abraham doesn't say, excuse me, God, or what you talking about, Willis, right? You know, what are you talking about, God? What are you talking about? Wait. Are you sure you're not talking about Ishmael? Are you sure you're not talking about somebody else? Maybe you got the wrong number, God. He doesn't say anything here. But what we learn is that first verse right there says that after these things, God did what to Abraham? God did what? Tested him. Why does God test you? These are moments. There are moments when God will completely test you. And why is that? I think testing does a couple of things. When we look at testing, it does a couple things. Ultimately, I want to share with you this, that if we have no test in our life, we have no testimony. If there is no test, there is no testimony. Some of you may be like me. I was raised in the church. I think the first Sunday I was born, I was taken to church. I was raised up, and I've been here ever since, plus some little blips on the way, but that's a whole other sermon, all right? So, but the thing is, I remember hearing, how many of you remember hearing testimony sermons? Like Sundays where people just shared, it's kind of an open mic testimony time. And I remember some people had the worst stories ever and the greatest redemption stories ever. Anybody with me? And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, I wish my life was worse so I could have had a better story. Anybody? Like, you hear somebody who's like, strung out on drugs, was involved in prostitution, tried to assassinate somebody, and then all of a sudden they found God, and now they're preaching, and they're just like the epitome of the book of Acts. And I'm like, huh? And all I do is mess up here and there. And I wish, you try to actually make your sins seem worse than they are. I like cheated on a test one day, you know, or I cut somebody off on the road, or I cursed underneath my breath. You kind of say this stuff to make it worse, but it's not it's not about what it is. It's about that God gives us a series of tests to see how much we are connected to him so that our testimony, because guess what? What I find out is most people in the world don't have the strung out assassination, prostitution thing. Most of us are just trying to make this way in our journey through life. And we have tests each and every day that God wants to go ahead and see if we're going to pass. And when we pass them, it's our testimony. It's our testimony. In seminary, I'll tell you, in seminary, and I read some of this in the book and it spurred me. In seminary, I got an education. I didn't get a testimony. Seminary didn't say, okay, it's testimony class today, and here's what you're going to tell people. I got an education, and some days I got stuff I didn't even want. I've seen great movies. I've read incredible books. I've heard powerful sermons, and there is no testimony in any of them that I received. Where I have received my testimony is in the daily life where I struggle with being attacked in this battle that we call spiritual warfare. Uh-huh. Anybody there? Okay, so, good. The testimony comes from the wilderness of the Israelites. It comes from the struggle down on the ground when Jesus is up on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, and they're trying to heal this boy, the disciples. It comes from their struggle when Jesus is taken and crucified and in a tomb, but yet raises. The struggle is what produces the testimony. It is the tough areas. It is the heat areas of our life that make us stronger. It is the refining process that makes us stronger. For instance, if I'm refining iron, it's hot, it's burning, it's not going to say, woo, this feels good. It's going to go, ouch, and not like it. Testimony comes in the martyrs of the book of Acts. And testing comes on the mountain of Abraham. So why does God test us? Why does God test us? Well, number one, it's an opportunity for God to prove himself. One of the coolest things about God is never early, he's never late, but he's right on time. Not your time, not my time, but on his time. And the other thing is, it's an opportunity for us to prove ourselves to God. That's why the scripture says in Ephesians, consider it pure joy when you experience many trials. It becomes sort of a proving ground. Now we're blessed to live, and I know some of you work in Aberdeen Proving Ground. And historically, what I'm told is proving grounds are areas where you prove, where you test out equipment so that when you're in warfare or you're doing things, that you make sure it works. So imagine if somebody made something, took it into battle, and that's the first time they're ever using it. Don't you feel better that if you've been in a proving ground and you've tested it and tested it, that when you go into warfare... Yes, you follow along with me. When you go into warfare, you know it's going to work. And so God will give you tests in life to make sure that you are ready for when the enemy comes and you have real warfare and can deal with that. You know what works. And so in this case, God wanted to see, Abraham, are you all in? Are you all in? And God uses tests the same way to determine if we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God wanted to see if the gift of Isaac, think how long, they waited 25, maybe 30 years for Isaac. And God wanted to see which is more important, me or them. Because here's one of the things that I've learned in life. God-given gifts can become dangerous idols. God-given gifts. I have met some of the most gifted people, some of the most gifted artists, the most gifted singers, the most talented pastors. I've met people who, when they stand in a pulpit or up front, they have such an anointing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen people who are so gifted in music and all kinds of other things that they can, like, they're the people that they look at an instrument for 5 seconds that they've never seen and they play it incredibly. You know what I'm talking about? And yet I have seen people love the gift more than they love the giver. And I've seen where that giftedness became an idol to them and have seen the crumbling. I've seen so many gifted pastors that by one thing or another, they got into a practice that they should not have been in, and it crumbled down their whole ministry. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen people who were singers, and they thought so highly of themselves, and yet it all fell apart because they loved the gift more. For instance, God may have financially blessed you, but you can easily start to love money and blessings more than you love God. God may have given you an incredible job. It's a job that you love. It's a job that is perfect for you. God has opened doors. God said, here you go. It's a gift from God, and yet it's so easy to go ahead and say, well, I have work to do over worshiping God. And we can make that gift that God gave us more important. I remember back probably about 15 to 20 years ago, I remember some people who came and I got to know them, and he had a very successful job. We're talking 15 to 20 years ago, and he was probably making six figures back then. And it was a time of corporate downsizing, one of those times in our deal. And he was an agent of corporate downsizing and took a job that was probably a third of what he had and what he made. And during those times, he never missed being in church, never missed a study, never missed talking, never missed prayer, never did any of that. And then over the course of that next year, God opened a door that he never thought was going to be open. He opened it wide, and this person went through it and was so grateful to the gift God had given them. And then I can tell you that over the next months and years, and even to this point today, he's not active in a church at all, because the gift of God became more important than God himself. It's easy to do. Some of you may have been blessed, you've been praying, and you got a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they are good looking, and you are so thankful to God. You're like, thank you, God. Look at him, he's looking fine, right? You may be saying that, and you are thankful to God. And you say, God, she is hot, whoa, way above my leg. Thank you, Jesus, right? And before you know it, maybe that relationship becomes more important than your relationship with God itself. I've seen it time and time and time again. People, when they're searching and they're looking, they're right here. They're in the presence of God. They're trying to be in everything. And when life gets a little bit more like they like it, and God has given them the gifts of relationship, they tend to fade away from Christ. And I want to tell you, if you want to live this pattern out, you're not going all in. You're living the pattern of Lucifer, the devil. Let me share that with you. That's harsh, isn't it? But that's the pattern we are following. We're not following Christ's pattern of going all in. We're not following Abraham and all the other people. We are following the pattern of Lucifer. And I want to take you to the book of Ezekiel right here and display this to you. And this is about Lucifer. And it says, through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Stop right there. What happened here? You see, it says about the fiery stones and calls him a cherub. What most scholars believe is that Lucifer, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call him, Beelzebub, pick your name, go with it. Whatever happened is that when he was in heaven, that he was a cherub, a beautiful angel, that may have actually been in charge of the worship in heaven. Because the fiery stones are in front of the thrones of God, and we know that the cherubs run through there and sing, holy, holy, holy Lord. God of power and mighty. That means that's why Satan knows how to corrupt our worship, because he led it for heaven. And he was made so beautiful and majestic. Isaiah said he was gorgeous, that you just looked at him and he sparkled of all the most precious gems that were there. He was beautiful to look at. And guess what? One day he looked in a mirror and said, I am beautiful to look at. And he said, I will ascend myself over the Most High. You see, when our gifts cease to be praise, it becomes pride. And when pride enters, we can see what happened. You became proud on account of your beauty, the beauty God gave him. And the wisdom and the splendor that he had went for himself and not for God. What you don't turn into praise will become pride. So I ask you, what are your greatest gifts? What are your greatest gifts that you have in life? What are your greatest opportunities? What God-sized dream do you have? What dream has the Holy Spirit conceived in you? In other words, what I'm asking you is, What is your Isaac? What is your Isaac in your life? For me, my Isaac became this church many, many years ago. And it's been awesome to see how God has nourished it and given it. But in some of the early stages, I got so enthralled in making sure that Haven was moving and that Haven was seen and that Haven was going to be here that I forgot it's really not about Haven, it's about Jesus. And if I dare ever put my gift from God, Haven, over God, sometimes it needs to be laid on the altar. And so the question that I'm really asking today, the one that God has asked me, is are you following Jesus or are you trying to get Jesus to follow you? For me, I accepted Christ at the age of Christ United Methodist Church in Fredericksburg, Maryland, at the age of 5 years old. Some of you have heard that story before, and it followed a chalk drawing artist who talked about the wise and foolish builder that week at a Christian coffee house. Tells you it was the 70s, right? At a Christian coffee house, and unbeknownst to everybody, my father gave an altar call, and this five-year-old little boy walked up, knelt at the altar, and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Yet most of the times in my life, through the ups and downs, I realize as I look back, and even some today, because I'm not perfect, look at the person next to you, you ain't perfect. I say, I'm not perfect, and what I recognize is this, that most of my Christian walk has been about not me following Jesus, but me trying to get Jesus to follow me. For instance, when I wrestled in high school, I was praying. It wasn't to glorify God. It was like, God, help me not get my butt kicked, and I want you to give me some of that supernatural strength and let me kick some butt, right? When it got to this point, when it got to an assignment or a test that I didn't study for, and I sat down, I'm like, oh, Jesus, please get me through this test. Hallelujah. Give me spiritual knowledge. I need it right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go, God. Right? Didn't work for geometry in high school, I can tell you that. Or if I say, God, I want that job, and I want to follow that job, and this is what I want to do, and I want to do this, and I want to go ahead, and then I'll follow your call in my life here. God, come on. You see, this is sort of associated with a church. Follow me, God. Come on, get over here. Bless this so that I can eventually be a blessing to you. I think we are all guilty of following that path where we say, Jesus, follow me. Follow me. You see, much of my life has been about getting God to try to follow my purposes, to get the God of the universe to revolve around me. And then I started to ask myself, why are we so resistant to going all in? Why are we so resistant? I mean, I see Abraham, he doesn't give a question at all about doing this. I see Peter, James, and John. And yeah, we have a lot of part of the scripture where they open mouth, insert foot. But I see them at this point where he says, follow me, and they drop everything and follow him. Why is it so hard for some of us to go all in? Why is it so hard for some of us to put Isaac on the altar, our Isaac on the altar? I think the biggest thing is because we're afraid. There's this doubt and fear that hits us that we think God is going to send us somewhere that we will hate or have us do something we never want to do. And I remember as a kid accepting Christ and hearing that, I didn't want God to send me in the mission field. I was like, don't you dare send me to any place that they don't have cable, right? You know, I mean, God, you better make sure that now it's like, God, they better have internet. You know what I mean? We have this thing, God, why? There's a section in the book that he talks about the missionaries that used to, when they would go into a mission field, they didn't take suitcases, they packed their coffins. Because they said, we're going here, and this is where God has sent us, and we are going to live, we are going to preach, and we are going to die here. But so many of us have lost the commitment to following Christ to the end. Some of us think our lives are going to be opposite and miserable if we follow God. Now, I'll admit, having five children who are awesome most of the time, and other times you want to mess with them at times. Am I right? Any parents here, you like to mess with your kids? Anybody? Am I the only one? Do I need parenting classes? All right. So sometimes you just like to mess with them. If they ask to do something and you kind of mess with them, and like Rachel when she was little, I don't know if I can do it now, Rachel. No, but I used to be able to look at Rachel and go like this. She'd be playing, and I'd just frown at her. And her eyes would start shifting back and forth. She'd go, blah, and start crying. And I said, I'm just joking, right? I know, I'm a bad parent. Go on with it, all right? But what I'm saying is, God isn't like that. God does not want to mess with us. Ultimately, even if I'm joking with them, I would never do anything that would harm my kids because I love them. So why, if I won't do anything that harms my kids, do I think that the creator of the universe that gave his only son for me would do anything that would harm me? He wants to do greatness for me. He wants to make my life better. And this whole image that when God calls me to follow him, it's going to be a life of misery is hooey. Is it going to be different sometimes from the culture around us? You bet, because this culture is not one that is set and focused on God. I just don't believe that God did all this, created this world, dealt with Adam and Eve, went ahead and sent his son Jesus to suffer and die just so that he could make my life miserable. It makes no sense. You see, in our lives, we listen to a lot of voices. We listen to the voices of the world. We listen to friends. We even have voices in our heads, some of us. We listen to advertising. And some of us here today may still be looking and saying, what's my life's purpose? What's my vocation? What should I do? And there's a great writer who's an ordained Presbyterian pastor. His name is Frederick Buechner. Anybody ever heard of him? Anybody heard of him? He's an interesting character. He actually made a quote that sometimes he doesn't attend church very much because the church isn't giving us what we need, and he could do a better job if he was preaching. So he's a fascinating guy. But he says this quote here that's printed in your bulletin, and it says, the voice we should listen to most as we choose a vocation is the voice we think we should listen to at least. It's the voice of our gladness. And then he says this that's up on the screen. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. How many of you are spending your life going to work, living your life with the deep gladness of your heart? And how many of you is that meeting the deep hunger in the world? So let's go back to Abraham. Everybody, can we go back to Abraham? What is all this about? This is a demented story. Look at what he says. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac spoke up and said, Father, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb? Did you love that statement? Hey, Daddy, I see the wood, I see the fire, you got a knife. We're missing something. Jewish tradition actually says that Isaac submitted to this, and I'll share that in a second. And Abraham answered, God himself, everybody say God himself, will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. You see, not only Abraham went all in, but we don't even have this story if Isaac went in. Isaac, we like to think, is a little kid. Judah, come here. Come here, Judah. A lot of us like to think, how you doing, buddy?
Hi.
I shall call him Mini-Me. So a lot of us think that Isaac was about this age, correct? How old are you, 11?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. So a lot of us think that Isaac is this age. Now, Abraham, remember, when Isaac was born, and he was how old? 100? 100 years old. So Abraham is an old guy, right? So let's go ahead and work with this. Here we go. All right. And Abraham has this right here, right? And he says, so it'd be easy. Here we go. I got something else here. Abraham says, put your hands up. Here we go. Can you move?
No.
Can I stab you?
Yeah.
All right, easy, right? Now, Jacob, come here.
Oh,
you can go. You're good.
All right. Same situation. Most scholars have said that actually Isaac was about 25 to 37 years old. How old's Abraham?
I'm going to tie you up and stab you. How's that going to work?
Now, if you're betting, who's going to win this out? A 137-year-old man, 125-year-old man, or a 37-year-old or 25-year-old? Who are you betting on? So like, if I went right now, here, go ahead. Here we go. Are you going to try not to let me?
Okay. See?
All right, go ahead and sit down. There you go. Now, that's why I had all them kids. All right, so for sermon illustrations. What I'm saying to you is Isaac could have whooped Abraham's old behind if he wanted to. And we talk about how great Abraham is about going all in. But Jewish tradition actually says, it's an awesome tradition, it actually says that Isaac, when he realized what was going on and he heard the voice of what God had told him, said, "Dad, bind my hands and bind my feet, because the temptation to fight back and live is greater. But if this is what God wants, let's do it." That's all in. Isaac went all in. Abraham went all in. And meanwhile, we don't go all in at all. And we're not 127, 125, 137. We're just living life. Look at what it says here in the ninth verse. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac. Again, we know it's not happening unless Isaac was going to be willing and submit to what God said. He bound his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached in and he got his knife to slay his son. Can you picture it? It's up. It's ready to, he's got it. Can you imagine what's going on in Isaac's mind and Abraham's? Here's the gift God gave him at this moment. And he's like, everything is probably turmoil for him. And here he is right here. And what happens? A voice from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." He probably went, "Yep." He said, "Here I am." Isn't it interesting? He uses the same statement that he did when God called him the first time. "Here I am." I would have been like, "Yeah. Here I am." You see, why wasn't Abraham worried? Because if you look back at the last scripture that we said before we read this one, he said to his servants, "We're going to go up there, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord and worship, and then we will be back." He said, "We will be back." Because you see, Abraham understood something that we've forgotten. We've forgotten that when we go all in, when we go completely all in, God gets to be his personality, which is Jehovah Jireh. What is Jehovah Jireh? It means the God who provides, but more importantly, it means the God who foresees. There is nothing that your life is going through that God hasn't foreseen. There is nothing that you're going through that God can't provide for. And when you go all in, it allows God to be who he is. That's why the scripture says, before the foundations of the world, he had you and me in mind. God gives us good gifts, and God's personality is dramatic. That's why with Moses, he waited till he was at the red between the Egyptians and the Red Sea to say, "Now I get to do my thing." That's why his son died and was laying in a tomb for 3 days before he said, "Let's go and raise him up." That's why in your situations of life, God is waiting for you to go all in so he can wait for that moment and say, "Now it's time for me to do my thing and be Jehovah Jireh." And be Jehovah Jireh. It's not that God wants us to give away stuff. It's just that God wants to test to see if you're willing to give them up. What is your Isaac? You see, Isaac was God's idea. It wasn't Abram. It wasn't Abraham's. What are you willing to put on the altar of your life?
Because what God delivers what he conceives if we're willing to go through the labor pains. Now, how many of you gave birth to a child? And if you're a man, come see me. We're going to make lots of money. All right? If you gave birth to a child, did you have labor pains? Would you love to have them every day of life? Are you glad that you had them because you have your children? Most of the time? All right? Because what you conceived, you delivered, but you had to go through some pain to get it. What God conceives, he wants to deliver in you, but you're going to have to go through some labor pains to get the blessing. Let's finish this out real quick, Akira. It finishes, the angel of the Lord called to Abram and a second time said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of the enemies, and through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Look at somebody next to you and say, hey, we're related to Abraham. We're family. We're family because of Abraham. You see, when you go all in, it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody. It affects everybody. And so when I place my Isaac on the altar, God uses my obedience in an amazing ways. For time, I'm not going to go into it, but some of you know the story of I left a promising career in the United Methodist Church and was headed in directions that were going to far exceed what I ever thought. Matter of fact, the person that followed me became a district superintendent and all that kind of stuff. But God called me to do something different. God wanted to go ahead and do something special. I love my Methodist heritage, and I love that the early Methodists had a prayer. And this is a modern version of it called the Covenant Prayer in the Wesleyan tradition. And I'll put it up on the screen so you can see it. And it's about John Wesley who went all in. One time John Wesley was sick and he thought he was dying. So he went and gave absolutely everything away that he had. And he got better and had to go back to work. But he went all in for God. One time he ticked off a church so much and witnessing to people that he stood on the only piece of property that was owned to his family. And that was his father's grave. And that was the only place they couldn't touch him. And he stood there and preached all the more. But here's this prayer. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you. Praise for you or criticize for you. Let me be full and let me be empty. Let me have all things and let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it also be made in heaven. Amen. As the worship team comes up, that's my prayer, that you will pray that every day of life, even if it's not specific, those words, that you will live that life and go all in. I believe that you got to ask what's holding you back from going in. What is your Isaac that you need to lay on the altar for God to do something in amazing ways? What are the labor pains that you have to go through for God to bring something to delivery and fruition? Amen? All right, everybody, stand on up. wait till you're 100 and years old to receive God's blessing, and don't wait till you're 125 or 137 to have God test you. Don't wait for the gift that God gives you for God to wonder whether it's superseding him in your life, and face that deal. Don't follow the pattern of Lucifer, but follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Follow the pattern of Isaac. Follow the pattern of Abraham. And go all in. It's easier and harder at the same time, but the birth is better of the gift that you get. Amen? All right. So next week, we're all in the same boat. And I'll give you a hint. What do you think that's about? All right. Have a good week. God bless.